Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice. In this story that is, well, very familiar to many, it comes up in a lot of Sunday school classes. We've got the prophet in 2 Kings chapter 5. He's Elisha. He's a great prophet. He's also a miracle worker. And there is this Gentile, this Syrian Naaman, who's an important guy, but he's also a leper. And then there's another character in there in this story that often is just glossed over, mentioned, but not explored too much. A little girl who really is the linchpin to the entire plot of the thing. And all she does is simply introduce this important man to the fact that there's a prophet in Israel who may be able to help him. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. On this Monday afternoon, we're going to teach a Sunday school with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. She's editor of Witness, Mercy, Life Together for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Deaconess Pam Nielsen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's great to be back this Monday afternoon.
Pam, this is the little girl that kind of gets lost in the shuffle, but she's so important in this story. Is this a great way for both adult and children to realize that children actually Christian children live within vocation too?
Yes, this is a wonderful story. Great because it's a child that God uses to set in motion his care for someone. But as you say, it really helps to open their eyes to vocation. And as long as we have life and breath in our age, from our infancy to our oldest years before God calls us home, we have vocation there, and vocation is simply serving our neighbor in his need. And sometimes you got to look a little harder to understand what your vocation might be, and sometimes it's right in your face and very obvious. But in this instance, this is very clearly a young girl acting in her vocation, and it's a story that I think kids, if you know, they'll think about it. There's another boy in the Old Testament that, in a similar way, in his vocation, both being taken to a different land, both forced into servitude, really being like slaves, and that being Joseph. But serving in that vocation that God has given, the calling that was placed before them, God uses them to care for their neighbor in need. And that's exactly what we have happening here with Naaman and his little servant girl.
It's not a vocation that one would choose for a child, to be carted off as part of the spoils of war to become the slave of a Gentile leader.
No, that's exactly right. And yet there's a lesson in that for us. How many times have we in our own lives found ourselves in a situation having to interact with people, maybe in a job that we didn't want or that we can't personally stand, or working with people we don't like, or in a situation that by worldly reason seems unfair or just out and out wrong by any kind of standard. And here we could say, yeah, this girl was, she was carted off to another land to be put into servitude. By our Western standards, you know, you could take them to court for this. This would be a crime of war. And yet, there's nothing in this text talking about the evils of children being taken into servitude. But there is everything about, because this is where this girl found herself, she was living out her vocation as a servant and caring for her master's wife, which was what her calling was, so much so that she noticed, and she's a believing girl, she's an Israelite, and she trusts in the true God of Israel, And she sees that the master has this illness, leprosy, this skin disease, and she believes in the one true God, the God of Israel. And so she speaks up to the wife and says, perhaps, you know, if my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. And what she does there is point the wife and her husband to God's man, and she knows this, the prophet, who speaks God's word for the people. And so she really gets it right. She points the person in need to the one who can give aid. But the story takes a little turn, of course.
Well, tell us the story then.
Well, sure. So she says that, and the mistress tells her husband, and so he goes, you know, he's a general, he's high up, so he goes to the king and says, I heard this, and I'd like to try it. You know, he's suffering with this illness. And the king of Syria says, go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So right away, the girl gets sort of, what she says, gets shoved to the side, because, remember, she says, go to the prophet. But the king does what kings know to do, will deal with the king of Israel. And so he sends his general with the leprosy, with all kinds of silver and gold and 10 changes of clothing. Very descriptive text here in these 15 or 14 verses. And he brings the letter to the king, and the king of Israel, who knows who the true God is and who has heard his word and learned his word and witnessed what his word can do, he doesn't get it right. The little girl has it right from the beginning, but the king tears his clothes, and he says, am I God to kill and to make alive that this man sends word to me to cure a man of leprosy? Totally misses the point. And then he thinks there's something up. Is there going to be a battle over this? You're going to ask me something impossible, and you're going to make a war out of it, a quarrel. Well, God's man, the prophet Elisha, he hears about this. And he heard that the king tore his clothes, and he sends to the king and says, why have you done this? Let this man come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. And so Naaman comes to the prophet's house, with horses and chariots and his whole entourage, and he stands at the door of Elisha, and Elisha says to him simply, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. But Naaman, big, powerful man of valor, military leader, victories under his belt, finds this to be a lacking cure. Doesn't believe it'll do anything. He's insulted. He thought that Elijah should come out and speak to him directly. He doesn't do that. He says, he sends the message, go wash. And he says, and I thought that he would wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Well, he's quite upset, and he thinks that his own rivers and his own land are more great than any of the waters of Israel. And so the servants come near, and they say to him, this is a great word from that the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, wash and be clean? And so they compel him to go down and dip himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. Not only no more leprosy, but the skin of like a little child, and he was clean, it says. An amazing story, 14 little verses and buried in the middle of 2 Kings, and yet a lot to teach us about vocation and how God works.
And it's these, but first it's the little servant girl, then it's his servants that he takes along to mm-hmm. Elisha's house that seem to have more sense about these things. I mean, in a culture where servants, at least many of them, their opinion, their thoughts on the matter would not have mattered. It sounds like God is constantly speaking truth through these people who would have been regarded in low esteem. About a minute before we take our break.
Sure. Low esteem, and maybe in many times they weren't even able to speak the language. I don't know. But what's clear here is this pattern that we see in lots of ways in Scripture, where God works through what we would humanly consider the lowly, the hidden places, hiding his power behind, you know, in a little servant girl who speaks a word of truth, of God's truth, hiding his power in these other servants who say, no, you should really go and do this and listen, rather than earthly kings taking charge and fixing things.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. She's editor of Witness Mercy Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. When we come back, 10 more minutes with her on Naaman's servant girl. We'll talk a little bit about the unmistakable connection with baptism in this Old Testament passage.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of issues, etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. Issues, etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
Why didn't Lutherans abandon many of the worship practices of the medieval Roman Catholic Church? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July is Faith and Act, The Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Faith and Act at issuesetc.org. Faith and Act, The Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri. And Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. One of my favorite hymns of all time, the Huddersfield Choral Society with the hymn Abide With Me, playing right now, as you can hear it, at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's sacred music for the world. Say, I wish I could take that with me wherever I go. You can. Out on the road this summer, traveling with the family, you want to see relatives, LutheranPublicRadio.org through your iPhone or your Android. It's that easy, LutheranPublicRadio.org, wherever you go, 24/7, sacred music for the world, and it follows the church year. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, talking about Naaman's servant girl. Pam, before the break, you were talking about the kind of the weak and the lowly people by which God continues to do his work through vocation. Talk also about the weak and lowly things, the elements, literally, here, both in this story and in the church's life today, by which God continues to do tremendous miracles, miracles even greater than healing leprosy through simple water.
Well, that's right. You know, it wasn't just that he ignored what the servant girl said. He didn't like the words of the prophet either. When he said, go dip in the Jordan, he thought that was a worthless river coming from Syria, and to dip seven times, what good would that do? And yet, it would cleanse him of his leprosy if he would only do it, and indeed it did. And that is exactly how baptism works for us. It doesn't have to be special water. It doesn't have to be Jordan River water. It's simple water we teach that is combined with the Word of God that does such great things, giving us forgiveness of sin, granting us life and salvation, bringing us into the family of God, making us a child of God. God works through these weak and lowly things, and he does it through this simple water with his powerful word. And who administers it? A weak and lowly pastor, a human, a sinful human being who stands before us and speaks those words, called to speak those words to us every week. Very similar to the Lord's Supper, when, you know, with a little bit of bread that you can barely barely chew in that wafer and a little bit of wine, we receive forgiveness, life, and salvation because of God's Word. And, you know, and that's what we believe and confess. And that's what's going on here. It's the Word of God. It's not the servant girl that suddenly is all powerful, or those other servants, or the prophet even himself. The power is in God's Word. And in pointing this great commander of the army with his skin disease, pointing him to where God's Word would be preached and proclaimed, and where God could be there for him in places he's promised to be. And the servant girl knew, send this man to the prophet, to the prophet. And that's what we need to do in our day when we have people with brokenness and weighed down by the troubles of life. We need to take them where God will be, where his word will be preached, and point them to the church, point them to the pastor, point them to Sunday service, to the divine service, where they can hear the word and receive the forgiveness of sins.
It also speaks to, I think, in a more general sense, Pam, and I'd like you to talk about this, how Sunday morning, the divine service ought to be and remain a family affair. That is, insofar as we are able to include old and young, and we know no economic boundaries, we know no social or political boundaries, the great and the small and the weak and the strong, all together in one body in Christ. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, and this lesson helps us see that it's the same word that is for all, the great commander who was sent to the prophet by the little servant girl, who really, by their standard, was of no account, just there to serve them. And all benefit by hearing God's word and receiving his gifts. And it really is. Obviously, she knew who the prophet was because she'd been raised in a family, in a faithful family, and in her church and among the children of Israel, and knew where the God's word was preached, and where his promises were given out, and his work was living for people. And it's such an important thing that we don't divide that up and somehow let that divine service, the worship service, where sins are forgiven in the confession and absolution, where baptisms occur, where the Lord's Supper is served for the forgiveness of sins, that we exclude children from that as if it's not for them, or they're not big enough for it, or they can't understand it, because God works through these means, and they need to be there to hear the word. It isn't their understanding that they lean upon. We lean upon the Holy Spirit and his work in our hearts and minds through that word, and we need to be there, young and old, rich and poor, sick and healthy. That's why it's so vital what the church does. Not that God isn't everywhere for us, but we know for certain he's for us in the places he's promised to be. He locates himself in the preaching of his word, in holy baptism, in the absolution, in the Lord's Supper. He's made that very clear. And he locates himself in the church, where two or three are gathered. There I will be with them also as they gather in my name. So, This is at the heart of who we are as God's people. We go to gather around his word and his sacrament, and he feeds us, all of us together.
Is this a good time, whether the kids have already been formally introduced or are still learning, or in the case of adults, we've got people who probably learned it decades ago. To go back over the question that Naaman's objection occasions, one that we have a good answer to in our catechism, how can water do such great things? To go over that section of the catechism a bit with everybody.
Well, absolutely. And if you're somebody who uses Growing in Christ regularly, you know that every single lesson has a catechism connection. And certainly the connection for this lesson is holy baptism. And specifically the third part of holy baptism. And that part is, how can water do such great things? And so absolutely, not only a great time, almost a necessary time to make these connections when we read scripture stories, that we see them tied to the catechism. And every lesson in Growing in Christ does that and helps teachers and parents alike make those connections and be able to talk about them in the life of faith. So get it out. You've got kids that can read. Pull out the catechisms. Read through that. Your materials, I'm sure, have a copy of it. And help them to learn it as they get older. You know, a great goal would be that when a child enters confirmation class, he already has the catechism memorized. Then the pastor can simply unpack it in those 2 years of confirmation. Much harder if the pastor has to begin at ground zero and the kids have never seen the catechism before. So, yeah, this is not only a good idea, it's vital that we do that in Sunday school.
With less than a minute here, talk about the person who's hearing this and saying, you know, what I do in life just doesn't seem very important. What I get up and do every day doesn't seem to have much impact. Surely God is using people with more important positions than me to accomplish greater things. About a minute to address that listener.
Well, here you see what great thing happened, that a little servant girl who was taken against her will and her family's will to another land, to a strange land, and put in servitude with a sentence to her master's wife, how God used her for great things. And yet it doesn't have to even be something that great. God calls us to serve our neighbor, whatever his need. And I have my elderly mother lives with me, and often she says, you know, what is my purpose? And I've heard that so many times with older people. Why am I here? Or someone who's chronically ill, I'm just a burden, they say or think. And yet they too provide a service for their neighbor. The blessing it is to our family to have our mother living in our home, and the opportunity to care for her and she for us with the things that God still enables her to do. So there's always something. Sometimes it is you're the one that others pray for, and you provide a service to them that they can look beyond themselves and their own worries and cares, but care for you in prayer and things. So there's no task too lowly, and no need insignificant of the need of our neighbor. If it's a true need, we have an opportunity to fill it, to care for our neighbor in need. That's vocation. And if everybody was doing the big things, there'd be a lot of huge problems that would pile up like garbage that serves our neighbor in need. If you're a garbage collector, imagine if nobody thought that was a worthy vocation. What a problem that would be. What about that baby whose poopy diaper is causing to scream? Mamas, there's no greater vocation than changing that baby's diaper when he needs it changed, or feeding that child. Nothing more important than that when you're a mom and you have a baby in your arms. So God blesses all these things, and he makes them all important as we serve our neighbor, because God has served us on the cross with his Son and granted us everything that we need for this body and life, and he's done that through his Son, Christ, and he gives us the freedom to serve our neighbor in great and small ways.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Next week we're going to talk with Pam about Joash repairing the temple. She mentioned it before, Growing in Christ is a great Sunday school curriculum that always points us toward Christ and his saving work on the cross. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or give Concordia Publishing House a call and ask about growing in Christ, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we'll talk about a campaign to convince Christians to accept neo-Darwinism.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.